The topic of the shir is the melacha of moichik. One of the lamatas melachas of Hilchos Shabbos is the melacha of moichik. Moichik means to erase something, to rub something out. And whereas the melacha of koifei, which is perhaps the twin melacha with moichik, of erasing, whereas perhaps that melacha is more well known and widely known, the melacha of koifei, everybody knows you can't write on Shabbos. And most of us know what is included in writing in Shabbos, in Hilchos Shabbos. But as far as the melacha of moichik is concerned, rubbing out, it's perhaps less well known exactly what is moichik, rubbing things out. And there's a number of different cases which are very relevant to halacha, perhaps every week on Shabbos. And therefore, what we're going to go through is a basic outline of the melacha of moichik, and perhaps some of the yesodos which have developed through the poskim, and to see how this applies on a practical basis. But because, as I mentioned, that moichik is very much intertwined with the melacha of koisev, writing, you have to have an outline, firstly, of the melacha of koisev, writing. You have to know what is kasav, what is writing, in order to know what is erasing, because you can perhaps only erase kasav. Something which is writing can be erased, but maybe something which is not considered to be writing, maybe there's no issa of erasing it. And we'll see whether that point is actually true later on. Let's discuss first, what is the makor of this melacha? Why is there a melacha of erasing? So where do we learn all the melachas from? Where do we learn all the melachas which are also on Shabbos from? From the Mishkan. What was involved in the construction of the Mishkan? Those things are what is also on Shabbos. So where was erasing? And where was writing in the Mishkan? They were building a structure. So the things that were involved were things which were designed to build a building or structure. Where is the melacha of erasing? And where is the melacha of writing? So we know that the Mishkan was constructed, the basic structure of the Mishkan was made of the Kiroshim. The Kiroshim were wooden boards which were gold plated, and each one of those boards was assembled one next to the other to produce the main building of the Mishkan itself. And those boards were assembled, they were put together, and then they were dismantled as Klal Yisrael moved through the Midbar, and then they put them together again, dismantled them continuously throughout the journeys of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. The Gemara tells us that these Kiroshim had to be assembled or reassembled in the same order each time. It wasn't good enough to put one of the Kiroshim which had been in this position next time to put it in a different position. They had to be in the same position every time. We won't go into exactly the reasons why, but the Kiroshim had to be put in the same order each time. In order to do that, how do you do that? You write numbers, or in Lashon HaKodesh there are no numbers, Aleph and Beis. You write numbers or letters on them, which signify the position that this one of the Kiroshim should actually be. And therefore, when they were constructing the Mishkan, on each one of these beams, they wrote letters. Now, sometimes it happened, everybody makes a mistake, and they wrote the wrong letter on, they engraved the wrong letter on there, and they had to rub out what was written there and write in its place a new letter, the correct letter. That was the melacha of moichik, of erasing. Kosev was writing the letters, moichik was erasing the letters. But because they were only erasing the letter with the intention to go and write another letter in its place, the correct letter, the malacha is therefore defined as erasing in order to write. Moichik amanos lichtov. Moichik amanos lichtov. Erasing in order to write in its place. Koisev is the malacha stam, just writing. But moichik is the malacha amanos lichtov. Okay. Like we find, as I was mentioning, Korea Amnos Litfor, tearing was a melacha because they were going to stitch it up again after. We won't go into the case exactly where that was, that's a separate shir. So that was the melacha of Moichek, Amnos Litfor, to write in its place. And we'll see, as we go on, some of the Gedorim, some of the parameters of this point. Now, going to the melacha of Koisev itself, of writing. Min HaTorah, only Koisev, or Ksiva, which is Miskayemet, which means it's going to last, is going to have a durability, that is also on Shabbos. Koisev, which is going to be miskayemes. So what does miskayemes mean? So there's two factors every time you write something. One is the ink that you write with, or the substance that you write with, and one is the surface that you write on. And for the malacha deraisa to be transgressed, you have to be writing with a substance or an ink which is durable, which is going to last, and you have to be writing on a substance which is going to allow the text to last. So for example, if you write with an ink which is going to fade very quickly, it's not going to be a malacha deraisa. If you write on condensation on the window with your finger, you write the word, that's going to fade very quickly. Not because of the what you wrote with, but what you wrote on. You wrote on condensation. The condensation disappears after a few hours. So that is only a malacha derabbanan. It's not deraisa. But it's still also midrabbanan. You have to have both factors in order for it to be deraisa. That's why, for example, there are certain heterim for using ink which disappears in hospitals, especially at Yisrael, where they want to avoid the malacha of koisei if they have to. They use ink which will disappear after a certain amount of time, and therefore they can minimize the chilul Shabbos that is involved. And then after Shabbos, the documents that have been written can be photocopied, etc., and therefore they can cause it to last. Okay, that is the malacha of koisei itself. So we have in front of us how a kesav is actually created by writing something which is durable. This kayama. The poskim say that koisev also includes drawing pictures as well. Actually drawing the outline of a picture. Colouring perhaps is a malacha of tzeveya. But drawing a picture itself is a malacha of koisev because you cause a tamuna, you cause a meaningful representation to come into existence. And whether it's by writing or whether it's by a picture, it doesn't make any difference. That is a malacha of koisev. That's the basic outline of the malacha itself. And therefore, moichek includes rubbing out pictures. Not only is moichek rubbing out letters, but it's also rubbing out pictures. So as we can see, it's already going to be very relevant to us. Because every Shabbos, we try sometimes to open packaging on Shabbos. And today, packaging has letters on it, has pictures on it. And when you tear it, and that has to be done in the correct way in order to avoid other malachas, but when it's torn, one has to perhaps avoid going through letters and pictures because of the issa of moichek. Okay. So let's consider some of the issues of moichek. Three basic points I want to consider. Is moichek only when a person is going to erase an entire letter? I have in front of me, let's say, for example, an aleph, and I want to rub out the entire letter. But what about splitting a letter in half? I have an aleph in front of me, or an A for that matter, because the place can say that applies to other languages as well. And I want to split that letter in half, into two halves. Is that moichek? And similarly in koisev, if I have two halves of a letter, can I bring them together? Is that a malacha of koisev? You're actually creating a letter there, and destroying a letter, perhaps. Okay, maybe it's not almanas lichtoy, if you're not having in mind to write again, but it would at least be asa midrabono, right? That's one of the questions you want to consider. Is there moichek if you cut between letters? If you have a word comprised of a number of letters and you want to cut between or tear between the letters, assuming there's no issue of korea, is there a problem of moichek there? I'm splitting up a word. Is that moichek? I haven't done anything to the letters themselves, but I split up the word, I split up the letters. And thirdly, a situation, for example, can often happen on Shabbos. Some of your cholons or something or other can go onto a bencher, yeah, onto the wording of the bencher, and you forget about it, you leave it for next week, you come back and it's all dried up, and you want to, with your fingernail perhaps, pick off some of the dried food that's there and thereby reveal the letters that are underneath. So what am I doing? I'm erasing something, dried food, and what's happening? Letters are coming through. So it's even more than almanos lichtoy. Moichek almanos lichtoy is to erase something with the intention to write in its place afterwards. But here, it's even more than that. As I erase it, the letters come through. The letters which were underneath come through. Is that moichek almanos lichtoy? So we'll see some of these questions. You're erasing the dirt that is there, which is obscuring the letters. So you're not erasing letters, you're erasing dirt which is there. And thereby the letters are coming through. Removing the dirt. Yeah. Is there a problem over there? So one of the cases which is discussed at length in the poskim is a very common situation. It's not so common nowadays because we tend to be makbid about it. But once upon a time, went into shul. Very often you saw the name of the shul printed on the side of the sefer of the siddurim to make sure that if the siddur was taken out from the place, it would be returned. And people wrote their personal names or the names of the siddur on the side of over here. Now, what happens when you open it? You rub out letters. You're being moichik letters, surely. When you close it, the letters come back into being. That's koisev. So is there a malacha of koisev and moichik when one is doing this? So let's investigate this shayla. Let's investigate this shayla. What's happening? Are we destroying letters? Are we writing letters?
No.
Because the letters still remain in existence. The letters have always been in existence. I'm just, what am I doing? I'm breaking them. I'm pulling bits apart, and then I'm putting it back together again. So it's not the same as destroying a letter. not erasing a letter. Additionally, what else could we say? We could say that it's designed for this. Yeah? In other words, the book itself is designed to be open and shut. The safe itself is designed to be open and shut. This is part of the use of its thing. I'm not interested in creating letters or destroying letters. Okay, those are some of the points. Now, the Ramah has a tshuva about this. The Ramah was asked about this shayla. And the Ramah says it's mutter. And he comes up with a number of different reasons why it's mutter. I think there's about five different reasons, four or five different reasons why he says it's mutter. We're not going to go through all of them. But two of them are quite important reasons. And on this, many of the yesodos of malach, of moichik, are built, and how we apply it nowadays to other situations. And we have to know what are the main reasons of the Ramah. When a Pesik writes a number of different reasons, he has to know which are the main reasons and which are the secondary reasons. Because the secondary reasons might not be enough to rely on by themselves. If you have a situation where the only way I could commit something is because of one of the secondary reasons that's brought in a truth or something, maybe that reason itself is not strong enough. Maybe there's the main reasons that Pesik brought are the Ikka reasons that we can rely on. And he just added a few extra things onto the pile, so to speak, to strengthen his case. But if those extra reasons are not the main reasons, then perhaps I might not be able to rely on them by themselves where the situation arises, that only those reasons are applicable. So we have to know what was the main, and it's very difficult to understand from the Ramah in his tshuva, what was the main reason why he was actually permitting this case. So the Ramah brings an interesting proof. The Ramah says that the Gemara tells us, "Hakosiv ois achas b'tzipori, ba'achas b'tzivaria." Somebody who on Shabbos writes one letter in Tzipori, which is a place in Eretz Yisrael, and one letter he goes and writes in Tzivaria, two different places, he has been over the malocha of Kosiv. Right? We know the shear for Kosiv is two letters. Every malocha has a shear. And this shear is two letters, because that's what was done in the creating of the Mishkan. A person writes one letter in one place, and one letter in another place, he's been over the block. And it doesn't matter that there's that there's a distance between them. Says the Ramah, what do you see from that? What would happen now if I had a letter in one place and a letter in another place? What would happen? And I brought those letters close together. Would I be over the malacha? No. The malacha is already nigma. The malacha has already been completed by writing one letter in one place and one letter in another place, and the distance between them doesn't matter. Okay, so therefore bringing them together is not a malacha at all, says the Ramah. The Ramah is writing the letters, not bringing them together. So similarly, says the Ramah, we can build a principle from there that when you have existing letters, pulling them apart, separating the one letter from another, is what he first says. Yeah, separating one letter from another, that is that moichik? No, because the act of bringing together or pulling apart is not part of the malacha itself. The malacha is the bringing the letters into being, but not pulling them apart or bringing them together. That's what the Ramah says. Similarly, the Ramah, and then he jumps, and then the Ramah says, and similarly, not only is it true regarding complete letters themselves, but even regarding parts of letters. In other words, if you have a letter in front of you, an existing letter, and you break it into parts, or the other way around, you have parts and you bring them together into letters, says the Ramah, that is the malacha. That is not a malacha, says the Ramah, because the existing parts of the letter are there. So just bring them together. And kiruv is lav mechusa ma'asadom, to use expression of the Gemara. It's not considered to be doing anything at all. Bringing them together is not considered to be doing anything. Pulling them apart is not considered to be doing anything. Says the Ramah, that's one basis on which we can permit opening and shutting these svarim, because the letter is there already. I'm just separating parts of it and putting it back together. Based on this Gemara, says the Ramah, that is not considered to be kosev, and that's not considered to be moichik. So according to Ramah, the contemporary poskim say, according to Ramah, it would be mutter to tear through letters on Shabbos. Yes. Now, as we're going to say afterwards, this is not a halacha shir, halacha lemaisa. Okay, don't want anyone to come away relying on any psokim that I'm saying over here. We're just investigating the Indian. I want you to go and look at the psokim, ask your shayla afterwards. But according to the Ramah, they state it would come out that one is allowed to separate, to tear through letters itself. It's not a problem because you're just pulling apart letters, you're not erasing letters. Now, the Ramah asks a kashya on himself. In that tshuva, the Ramah says that there is a modcha, one of the Shayim brings down. And he mentions over there that there were types of cakes or biscuits which had letters or written on top of them. And the direction, so to speak, that the modcha takes is that there's an issur derabbanan to cut them or break them. Okay, there's an issur derabbanan to cut them or break them. So says the Ramah, that seems to be a direct kasha on me. I'm telling you over here that breaking letters in half is not a problem. And this Moshe, one of the Rishonim, tells us that there is a problem. Says the Ramah, no, it's not a problem at all. Because there, the person is cutting the letters and he's going to eat it up afterwards. He's going to be destroying the letters from the world. They're not going to exist anymore. That's Moichik. But here, for the scissor case, am I destroying letters? Are the letters going anywhere? No. Temporarily, they are disappearing. But they're going to come back as soon as I close the sefer. So the letters are not disappearing from the world. Furthermore, there's a fundamental difference between the two situations. And therefore he says, that case that the Moichik brings is not a kasher on me. Okay. There is another reason the Ramah brings there. And the Ramah says that the sefer is Oymed Liftoyach Velinoy. Oymed Liftoyach Velinoy. It's sitting, designated Liftoyach to be opened and Velinoy and to close. And what does that mean? What does that actually mean? So it's a very big debate exactly what these words of the Ramah mean. Is he basically just another way of saying what he said before? That since it's designed to open and shut, the whole thing is therefore just separating bits of letters and putting it back together. Just another way or a different emphasis of saying the same thing before. Or is Ramah something, saying something a bit more fundamental than that, a new point? Let me ask you a question. On Shabbos, there was a malacha of boina, building. Yeah? Not allowed to improve a house, to add to a house, to a structure. What happens on Shabbos? Are you allowed to open a door and shut the door on Shabbos? So the answer is, obviously yes, everybody does, and we do it all the time. So the question is why? When I open a door, I am diminishing the structure. There's now less of the structure in position than there was before. When I close the door, I'm adding to the structure. Why is that not a malacha of boina and soifa, the twin malacha? So some explain, because the door is designed for that, it's in place, it's part of the structure already, I'm just moving it from one position to another, there is no addition or improvement, or the other way, a destruction or destructive act towards the house itself. The whole potential is there already. Okay, some people even apply this to glasses which change colour in the sun. Why is there no malacha of suveya? Like you're adding a colour, so to speak, to it. They're already. The potential is there already, and the thing changes of its own accord, dependent on the situation or the climate or whatever, or the sunlight that it's placed into. Some apply it to that as well. I'm just bringing out a principle. So some say that's what the Ramah means over here. The reason why there is no Moichek and Kosei when you open this paper is because the whole thing is potentially there already. The letters are there. I'm doing it, and the sefer is made to be open and shut, open and shut. There's no malacha involved in that. You see the comparison that the Ramah is, perhaps the Ramah is trying to make. They didn't have the Prisha, which is one of the Mephoshim on the tour, understands what the Ramah is saying, and Mishnah Berurah actually quotes this reason. Mishnah Berurah quotes this. And Chazon Ish says it doesn't mean that at all. The Chazon Ish says it's very difficult to understand the comparison to a door. There's various different distinctions which we haven't got time to go into. The Chazon Ish says it doesn't really mean that at all. What he means is very, very simply, very simply, that the ksav is not ksav miskayemes. That's all the Ramah means to say. Since the book or the sefer is designed to be open and shut the whole time, so that ksav, when it was originally put there, is not called ksav miskayemes. It's not ksav which is lasting and durable and going to sit there the whole time. The whole thing right from the start was destined to be open and shut, and therefore it's not ksav miskayemes, and therefore it's not really a ksav at all. That's why it's mutta. And therefore, since I'm not interested in writing and erasing, says the Ramah, I'm not interested in writing, I'm just interested in opening and shutting the sefer itself. Therefore, we're making about it, we're lenient about it. That's how the Chazon Ish seems to learn about it. Although the Chazon Ish is not so happy with the Heter, he just wants to explain the Ramah like that. Okay. Halacha l'maaseh, in this particular aspect, many poskim argued on the Ramah. The Levush, the Mogen Avraham, Amachme, they argued on the Ramah, and they said that there's a distinction, a major distinction, between the Gemara that the Ramah wanted to bring as his proof, and the situation that the Ramah is actually talking about. The Gemara, which we quoted before, about writing one letter in one place and one letter in another place, say some of these places, is talking about a situation where the two letters are in existence already. So then we say that bringing them close together is not considered to be any significant act. because you're not bringing letters into being. But if I have parts of letters and I thereby am a chaba parts of letters together and I create a new tsura of a letter, that is a very different thing. And that's what's happening over here. Bits of letters are being pulled apart, so the letter disappears, and bits of letters are being put together, so the letter comes into being. Says the Levush and others, Levush doesn't say it very, very explicitly, but the other poskim, Avnei and others explain that what the Ramos riot from the Gemara is not a riot, not a good proof. That's what they say. And there's various other ways of refuting his proof as well. There's a difference between bringing existing letters together and putting them apart, and destroying the letters themselves. Yeah, we hear the distinction? Yeah, the distinction that the poskim are making. Because of all of this, the Magen Avraham says we have to be machmir. The Chayodah and the Mishnah Berurah say that if one has a different sefer available, so you walk into a shul, and when the siddur you happen to pick up happens to have this writing on it, or printed matter for that matter, one should therefore take a different siddur. If you haven't got a different one, says the Ramah, the minhag is to be makel. We're lenient about it. The minhag is to be makel about this, and therefore definitely if you see somebody who's about to open a sefer, they don't have to object against it, because you can rely on the Ramah. You can rely on them more. One should be machmir, says the Mishnah Berurah and the Chayodom, because of the other shittas, the other opinions over here that say it's a problem. Okay. How does all this apply to the situation of cutting cakes on Shabbos? Because cakes very often have icing on top, which is written Mazel Tov, or Happy Birthday, or something like that. And when you come and cut through the letters itself, you're being moichik letter. You're destroying a letter.
Why does it make a difference
when not someone else? Okay. Some folks can explain that when there is a benefit from the mechika itself, it doesn't have to be a benefit such as writing. Any other positive benefit, right, is also considered to be a benefit as well, right? The same thing applies also by korea that you mentioned as well before. Korea amanos litzoy is the melacha, but korea with another benefit could also be the melacha as well. Shabur proves that is also considered to be, and he compares the two things as well. So therefore, when a person is cutting the cake and is cutting through these letters, surely there's a problem of moichik. And that's why the poskim say that if the letters are a separate chelek to the cake itself, such as icing, one should not cut the letters themselves. Shem Ezarul Oibach was matter to cut between the letters, because you're not destroying the letters. And moichik, he learns, is not destroying words. There's no malach of destroying words, says Rosh Hashanah. There's a malach of destroying letters. So if you cut between the letters itself, you're okay.
Then you eat it.
Oh, one second. So that's regarding cutting. Okay? When you eat it, there's going to be moichik there as well. Okay? Even if you've cut between the letters, so you now have a letter of an ois sholim in front of you, and you put it into your mouth, your shemak, and there goes the letter. Moichik.
You can't sit in front.
But it doesn't matter. Okay? Any malacha, you can blindfold yourself. You can blindfold yourself to any malacha. But you're still doing it.
Like grapes, where you're not over on the seat, if you have it completely inside
your mouth. There's a heter why, of derech achila. It's not considered to be a maisa chita, it's a derech achila. So the answer is, the Mishnah Berurah says, when eating, one is allowed to be mekel about it. Why? Because there's a double mevavah with Noida B'Yehuda on the Shulchan Aruch here. And he argues on the whole concept over here. And he says that it's what's called a psik resha betray the rabbanon. What's a psik resha betray the rabbanon? So we know that on Shabbos, if you're mechavan to do a malacha, it's also. If you're not mechavan to do a malacha, but it's a psik resha, it's automatic, inevitable event, that's also considered to be also as well. But a psik resha betray the rabbanon, where what you are doing is to the rabbanon, only to Yisurim the rabbanon, there are some poskim who are making about it. Chazon Ish refutes this as well, but the many places can quote such a heter. Psik resha, betray the rabbonim. So since over here the moichik is happening kala'acha yad, you're not erasing in a normal manner, it's being done by your teeth, and it's perhaps not ksiva hamiskayim, because a cake doesn't last forever, so not ksiva hamiskayim, okay, unless it's got perhaps preservatives in which might make it last forever, but a regular cake is not going to last forever. There's two rabbonim, there's ksiva she'edim iskayemis, it's moichik kala'acha yad in an indirect way. With a, and it's only a, it's a psik resha, it's not direct. Psik resha, but Tvei Rabbanon says the dogma mevava is muta, and he relies on it even regarding breaking cakes themselves, cutting cakes themselves. We're not making it that far. The Shabura says we can rely on it regarding eating itself, because perhaps, as we mentioned, it's derech achida, whatever it is. The Mishabura says you can therefore, when you eat the cake itself with icing on top, that is not a problem. Now, all this that we've discussed is with icing, which is an addition to the cake, it's on top of the cake itself. If letters are engraved. Very often you can buy a biscuit or chocolate, which have got letters engraved on the actual thing or embossed. Yeah, they're sticking out, they're boilate or it's engraved. That is not a problem as well. And the post can try to explain why this is. The Chazanish seems to say it's because even though creating such lettering in the first place would perhaps be a malacha of Kosev, at least the Rabbonon, but once it has become part of the biscuit or the chocolate, whatever it is itself, that is Tsuras Hapas. It's a Tsura of the thing itself. It's now no longer considered to be writing. It's considered to be part of the cake, part of the biscuit, part of the chocolate. And therefore it's not a kasav anymore. Since it's not a kasav, breaking it or eating it is not moichik. And therefore it's part of the cake itself or the chocolate that is not a malacha of moichik. Let's finish off with one final case, which I mentioned before. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a case that if wax or ink, for example, falls onto a pinkas, the Gemara said. Pinkas is a kind of a ledger, right? A notebook that people used to write cheshbonos, calculations on. If this falls onto the surface, one is not allowed to remove it. Why? Because that's moichek amanos lichtay. You're rubbing out something, even though it's not letter. And the Rosh proves, the Rosh brings a tesefta, and this is what, on which this bit of the Shulchan Aruch is based, that moichek does not only mean moichek letters. Even moichek pishtush dioi, it says, which is a bit of ink that is there, but it's not a letter itself. Being moichek that, in order to write in its position, is also moichek amanos lichtay. You don't have to rub out letters in order to be over. Okay, the shirim is a separate thing. I'm not going to, too complicated to go into. But moichek amanos lichtay includes even removing ink or wax that has fallen into position, and you want to write in that place. So, the Bach mentions the following case. Very often, nowadays we have a chandelier over here with nice electric lights. Didn't always used to be like that. People used to have wax candles. And very often, during the laning, the wax would drip and would go onto the Sefer Torah itself. So the Shaila was posed to many of the poskim, is it mutter on Shabbos to peel off the wax that has... Firstly, is it mutter to carry on laning with such a Sefer Torah? Is the Sefer Torah possible? Because the letter has been obscured by the wax. But besides that, is there a problem on Shabbos of peeling off the wax itself and thereby revealing the letter that's underneath? Is that moichek amanos lichtoy? So the Bach held, seemingly, it's a very short Bach, one of the main achronim on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Torah, right? That it's moichek amanos lichtoy. And therefore it's awesome. You're revealing the ksav from underneath. The Shavus Yaakov, which the Shari Tshuva and others bring down, held that it's not a problem at all. It's only a problem when wax, for example, falls onto a book and it becomes part of the book itself. But over here, the letters themselves, his expression is that they are munach b'kufsa. It's ki'ido, they are a separate entity in their own right. And therefore, when it falls on them, it's not affecting the letters themselves. The letters themselves remain intact. It's just something which is obscuring it. It's just like a covering which is sitting on top of the letters. To remove a covering is not moichel. Moichek is to remove something which is really destroying the letter, which is really impeding the letter itself, and removing that, that would be a problem. So the Mishabura and others say we have to be machmir for the Bach over here. Many Achorim held like the Bach, and therefore it is also. So the question is, halacha l'maaseh for us, if dirt falls onto a bencher or something like that, and you want to remove it on Shabbos, is it mutter or not? So many of the contemporary poskim can seem to compare wax, which falls on this case of wax falling onto it, to any kind of dirt, and therefore they hold that one should not remove the dirt and thereby reveal the letters underneath. Others say it's different because the wax or ink that falls onto something gets absorbed into the paper itself, and therefore it becomes one, so to speak, with the letter itself, and it's worse, whereas dirt just sits on top. So definitely, for example, in the case if you have a laminated bencher which is covered in plastic, yeah, many benches nowadays are covered in plastic, that's not a problem at all, because there the letter is not being ruined itself, it's just stuck on top on the plastic itself. So in Rabbi Salk's paper, he compares it, for example, if you have a glass window and you have behind it a picture and something was stuck on front, on the front of the glass in front, would we say that removing that dirt which is obscuring letters is considered to be moichek? No, it's just taking away dirt. You know, it's not moichek at all. It's a mashal to explain what we're saying over here. So therefore there's a shaila about that. Is this case of when dirt, food, whatever, falls onto something, is that the same as wax falling onto it? So these are some of the basic outlines of the malacha of Moichek Amalas Lichtos. It is Negeas, Negeas, we mentioned, to carry through packaging and other things as well. Any shaylos, please, should be, one should look them up in Svarim or ask a Rav. These are basically the insiders of the malacha itself.